And I just want to hit one part of it this morning. I'll finish it tonight. And we've been talking about the church at Sardis. That's the fourth church on the list in the letters to the church. The churches, the seven churches in Revelation. And this theme, the theme of this morning is remember. I just did not expect altars to go as they, or not altars, worship to go as it did, for God to be calling out those deep things that he's already placed in people, calling out, you know, things that he had already marked people's lives with. Your life was marked by the Lord before you ever even knew it. Some of you now can look back with a heart of testimony and kind of through the perspective of the Holy Spirit, and you can know this was a moment in my life when God marked me. This was a moment in my life when I know that the Lord paid particular and personal attention to the trajectory of what was going to happen. And in that, he set me on a course. As Rustin is about to have his first child, it reminds me that when the summer before I had him, and I was not like Alyssa. It took us forever to know that this girl was pregnant. She was just a skinny. I was not like that. I think I just took liberty from the second I found out I was pregnant, and I just let myself look super pregnant from the get. So I was probably only 7 months pregnant when we were working a camp. And trust me, you bring a belly like that to a camp where people feel a lot of spiritual freedom, and your belly is not your own. Everyone's hands are on. There is not a single service where people haven't been completely moved on by the Spirit. We've had a 4-hour altar service and they're not like, but in that, I do think that there was a lot that the Lord was wanting to confirm and speak out and put out into the supernatural world about his future. And it was said of him while he was still in the womb and we were working a camp by so many strangers, he will be gifted. He will be incredibly gifted musically. He will be a worshiper. He will be a wild man. Whoever said that, I could just kick him in the shin sometimes. But, and then it's funny that later on at that same camp, do you remember that prophecy that Micah May gave over you, like from the stage when he was like, as wild as you are about everything else, you're going to be that wild for the Lord. And it was kind of the same. And just watching God move on Peyton in the altars, honestly, I knew it was you. And for everybody else, normally God don't tell me who it is, but I know who it is, and I know who some of y'all are. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to give you fair warning. And don't you duck out and go to the bathroom. I'll chase you. I'll chase you. I'm telling you right now that I know who else it is. I know who else needs to. And that's not, I'm not always like that. But I am this morning. And I know who else it is. And you best have yourself in this altar when it comes altar call time. Or I will find you in the parking lot. I will find you in your car. I will go to your house. I will miss the second half of the Hogs game to find you in your house. Because the Lord has a work for your life. And I will help you remember. And the Holy Ghost will help you remember. And so, but I remember kind of the same moments for Peyton, all these different camps where there was just such a strong mark on his life. And I've seen it with a lot of kids that I've taken different places. It's not always just with kids, right? We see it on Mike and Angie. We would all testify of that, that we see the hand of God in their lives. We see the purposes of God go before them. And I could say that about any one of us, but I'm just right now trying to draw your attention to those works that God does that show you that there is a particular purpose. And Sardis had that kind of purpose. And if you go to Revelation chapter 3, and let's just revisit that just real quick, and then I'm going to preach about remember the work this morning. Tonight I'll preach about remember the wisdom of God, and then remember the wonder of God, because those are all things that our mind has to go back to. Last week I preached about strengthening the work, the wisdom and the wonder, and waking up to the work, the wisdom and the wonder. This is the last part of that letter in Revelation chapter 3 when the Lord told the church at Sardis to remember. Let me turn there real quick. Sorry. All right, I'm here. Revelation's at least an easy one to find, right? to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name. In other words, you have a reputation that you are alive, but you are dead. Last week, I just kind of put that subtitle from reputation to reality. That's what the refining process will take us to. I know that you have a reputation that you're alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. That's where we're going to stay this morning and tonight. Remember. Part of remembering means to embrace. Hold fast means to cling, to hang on to, and don't let go like you would a life preserver in the ocean. Hold fast and repent. And so he's telling them, you can still return. And if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I'll come upon you. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes will be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before before my Father and before his angels. I just got distracted by these two little supplements in my pocket, and it made me, my brain just fritz out. I was supposed to take these at 10:30. Oh, no. It's part of my weight loss journey to get skinny for my grandkid. I got some weird stuff going on in my brain, and the Lord can still use me. So today, let's remember. I'm sorry, let me just set those right there. I promise it's nothing weird. It's just supplements. BioCleanse, whatever that means. I actually don't know. Maybe it is something weird. I don't know. Bought it from a lady on the street. Okay, it's Plexus, okay? It's Plexus, the pink drink. Anyway, Marlene, I've already threatened to come after people. I can't believe you're feeling this feisty when I have made threats from this microphone this morning. All right, here we go. Let's get back to this. Remember, the Lord can call you back in such a powerful way. And when the Lord calls you back, it will take you further than discipline could ever take you. Do you hear me? When the Lord calls you back, it will bring you back quicker, more decisively, more powerfully, and in a way that is more lasting than discipline ever could. Discipline will follow because you'll be given a new nature. You'll be given a new heart. That's what Sardis needed. They had the disciplines. They had the demonstration. The world around them thought that they were awesome. They were impressive. And he said, you have a reputation, but you do not have the reality. And I understand that for some of us, maybe we're not even walking in the reputation. But the bottom line for everyone and the baseline promise for everyone is the same, that God wants to give us the reality of his work, the reality of his wisdom, the reality of his wonderful ways. And we can remember all of those things. Your spirit can be stirred to that. Did you know that even when a person is first saved, even when they're pulled out of the blackest darkness, even when they're pulled out of the greatest perversions, even when they're pulled out of a lifetime of generational curses, of wrong teaching, of believing the wrong thing and living out the wrong thing, even if they've never known the Lord, the Bible says that God has set eternity in the hearts of men. And the Bible says that he has given a measure of faith to every man. And the Bible says that all of creation testifies of the wonders of the Lord. So when a person comes to God, even for the first time, there is a supernatural muscle memory that kicks in, that you go, this is who I was always supposed to be. This is who I was at my origin. This is who I was at before I formed you in the womb. I knew you. This is who I was when God created me with a purpose. This is who I was in the heart and the mind of God. So even if you're someone right now sitting in this church building, oh, I'm getting scary close to Marlene. sitting in this church building who has never known the Lord, there will still be some sort of calling back in your spirit. There will still be a deep cries out to deep. So if you're sitting here and you're like, I'm brand new, actually I'm backwards, okay? I'm 10 steps back. When I'm talking about remembering, you still are returning to the wonderful and beautiful plan of God for your life, and something in your spirit will click if you will surrender to the Lord. And so he's speaking to the church of Sardis, and he says to remember. And let me tell you, if you're looking around this morning and you're like, oh, I see a lot of people that have regressed. Yeah, that old girl over there, she's looking real forgetful. That boy on the other side, he's looking real forgetful. Can I remind you of 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, that says, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. We all get forgetful. Can I remind you of Psalms 105 and 5, where even the psalmist had to say, remember the wonders that he has done. Remember his miracles. Can you believe we would forget the miracles of God? But even your miracles, the miraculous things in your life, can be forgotten. And when you can see them called back, when you can see them brought back up, even before the host of the supernatural world, then it puts you in such a place of faith and of believing. And then remember the judgments that he has pronounced. This world will make you forget the judgment of God, because this world's getting by with some stuff. They're getting by with some things. I'm looking around like, I wish we was in Old Testament times. I wish God still sent fire and brimstone, but actually I don't, because it'd be landing on me. If you think you stand, take heed lest you fall. Everybody needs a gut check. Everybody needs to return. Everybody needs a moment where we make sure that our hearts are tethered to the Lord. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, God told his people, do not forget the Lord. And I need to just kind of skim through this. He says, if you get to the land that I promised you and you've eaten and you're full and you dwell in beautiful homes and you're in a place of safety, don't you forget. Don't you forget who brought you there. Don't you come to a point where you say our own works, our own hands have gotten us here. But you've got to remember, had it not been for the love of God, the goodness of God, the mighty name of Jesus. And he said in verse 14, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord God who brought you out of the land, out of the house of bondage, in verse 17, and you say in your heart, my power, the might of my hand has gained me this. You shall remember the Lord. It is he who gives you power that he can establish his covenant. Everything that you get is to draw you closer to God. Every bit of comfort that you get should draw you closer to God. If you've received comfort that separated you from God, if you've received edification that separated you from God, if you've received some sort of assurance in your life that separated you from God, it was not from God. And you can see it go. It needs to be cut away. And you need to go back to what draws you to the heart of the Father. If it's from the Father, it will draw you to the Father. And so he says, remember that. Don't follow other gods, verse 19, or serve them or worship them. I testify against you this day. If you do, you'll perish. And as the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so you shall perish. This world is passing away and everything in it, and you are not meant to be a part of that. The nations were about to pass away before the people Israel, and God was saying, you're not supposed to be a part of that. So return to me when I put you in a place of victory. Return to me. Do you realize that every time that you are in a place of potential victory, you are also in a place of potential condemnation? Amen. And it's up to you whether you cling to the Lord or whether you walk in pride and say, I think I've got this. I'm ready. Do not forget the Lord. Do not forget the Lord. Don't forget his work. Don't forget his, I hope I can get through this. It's already 11:51. I'm sorry. Don't forget his wisdom. Don't forget his works or his, I'll get there in a minute. Wonder, his wonder. Ephesians 2 and 10. Let's go to remember the work. I'm going to go through this quickly. And this tonight I'll preach slower. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. That is such a powerful promise prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. There is the redemptive work. Do not forget that the Lord has already redeemed your life. If you're looking at your life and you're saying, I can't do nothing with this life. I've already messed this life up too much. I've already done too much. I've already broken this down too much. He is the Redeemer. Do not forget the redemptive hand of God. You don't have to figure everything out today. You don't have to fix everything today. You cannot fix everything today, but the Lord can redeem and redeem and redeem. Do not forget that the work of the Lord is redemptive. Do not forget that the work of the Lord brings responsibility to your life. There's alliteration. I don't know if you noticed. If you're taking notes, there'll be alliteration with all of them. It helps me and you both. Don't forget the redemptive work. Don't forget the work that brings responsibility. Sometimes we can remember that we're redeemed. We can love that. We can embrace that, but we forget that redemption comes with responsibility. What are you doing with your redemption? What are you doing with your brand new life? What are you doing with the place that he put you in? God put the church in Sardis in a place of influence, in a place even of affluence, in a place of where being comfortable and being able to work and being able to exist in power. And they took it and enjoyed and lived in luxury and lived in lavishness and even laziness. You have a responsibility because of the work of God. And then ultimately you have a reward. Don't forget the redemption. Don't forget the responsibility, but best of all, don't forget the reward. That's why I like to sing that third verse of How Great Thou Art. Because of his greatness, when he comes with shouts of acclamation and the host of heaven is rejoicing, and I imagine in that moment that I'll just wither up and die. But I know that because of the righteousness of Jesus, I won't. But I'll see my Savior coming in glory and I'll say, I know him and he knows me and I won't be ashamed to see him and I won't be trying to find a rock to hide in. But instead, I'll be saying, my God, how great thou art. And I'll understand that heaven receives that praise and heaven receives that worship. And in that, that is my reward. Amen. To enter into the presence of God with no shame, with no fear, but to behold him face to face. Larry, I'm like you. Every time we sing, if the only place I reach is at your feet, I'm like, yeah, but we don't have to stay there. I get to see the face of the Savior. That's the reward. Don't forget the reward. Don't forget. You have to be called back to that over and over. Isaiah 43:1 says, thus says the Lord who created you and he who formed you, fear not. I've redeemed you. I've called you by name. You're mine. I love the next part. I didn't put it in there. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through deep waters, it will not overtake you. I love the promises that he says, you're going to go through some things, but you'll always be marked as mine. You'll always belong to me. Let me tell you some nerd facts about the church in Sardis. Because they've been excavating for a long time. But in the 70s, they found the temple. Now, if you're a critical thinker, you might wonder this, just like I did. You might think, hang on, did the church, the modern New Testament church, also visit the temple? Right? Because it says that they gathered in their homes and they broke bread. But no, they also visited the temple, just as Jesus did. Think of how many miracles were done on the way to the hour of prayer at the temple. Think of how many times that the apostles did ministry in the courts of the temple. And then we have also Jewish history that tells us that the early church still maintained all of the temple practices because they understood it in a new way. They probably had a better experience. So we can look at the temple and it reflects the life of the early church. One of the things that we know is one of the columns has inscriptions. There's 87 names on one of the columns. How cool is that? And by the way, I don't know if you imagine archaeology to be like these ugly stone pillars. It's wild. It's not. It's so ornate. It's so beautiful. It's so well done. Jordan has some theories about why that is. Ask him after church. I won't say them right now, but he's got some theories. I bet Anthony could get along with your theories about some of that. Anyway, I can't get distracted. I ain't got time for that. There's 87 names. 80 of them are written in Greek. 7 of them are written in Hebrew. 87 should be written in Hebrew. That means that 80 people that signed the pillar in the temple changed their name to a pagan name. Don't come in the house of God wearing the identity from this world. Don't do it. Remember what he said, I've called you by name. You know your name. You know your calling. Go back to your name. Go back to your calling. I think I'm just going to, I'm going to stop on remember the work. I'm sorry, I'm not going to do wisdom and oh no, man. This series has gone so long, y'all. I'm sorry, but we got to stop right here. We got to stop right here. Rustin, you can go ahead and come. Dad, you can go ahead and come. I don't think I've told y'all that next week Caleb's going to be here, and I'm sorry for that. I'm sorry. Mom and Dad like to be here when Caleb is here, but somebody's got to be at Hebron while Caleb's here. So anyway, we'll continue this. I'll continue most of it tonight, but then I'll pick it up after next week. But don't miss Caleb. If you don't know, Caleb is just a phenomenal preacher. He is a fireball of a preacher, so definitely be here next week when he's here. And we're still going to be here as well, but we just wanted to call him in because it's our Big Papa and Mama week. And Mom and Dad week, obviously. But we're coming to a place where even in the church, we've been willing to try to worship and try to operate and try to exist with the names that the world put on us. And God in His mercy and in His grace and in His goodness has still continued to work among us. But what He's saying in this moment is now is the time to come out. Now is the time. Now is the time to return. To return to that place. Now is the time to understand this. That we have to come to a point where we don't only see redemption and embrace it, and we should remember that to return meant to embrace and to repent, but we also walk in responsibility and anticipate and live for the reward. If you'd stand this morning, bow your head and begin to pray. I just preached to you for about 15 minutes. You should still have plenty of energy, plenty of attention span left. I'll preach longer tonight. Bow your head for just a moment. Jesus, I pray that you would just rest on this place. Lord, that you would begin to call us out. That you would call us out to a mighty work. That you would call us out to a point of responding to you. Lord, that you would just call us out to a point of picking up that mantle and walking with that responsibility. And walking, Lord, with that challenge. Jesus, that you would call us to a place of embracing our identity in you. Come on, for some of you, the identity that the world has put on you is a person that is broken, even a person that is unstable. I think there are people in this room who have not been able to trust your judgment. You have not been able to trust your decision making. But if you will lean in to the redemptive hand of God, if you will lean in, you will begin to see the mind of Christ overtake you. You will begin to see the peace of God to overtake your life. And you will begin to walk in the influence that the Lord has laid out for you. Jesus, would you rest on this place? Jesus, would you call us out? Jesus, would you bring us, Lord, to a point of surrender? I love that Peyton and Bailey are coming back for it. I love that they're coming back for more, that they're saying, show us that call. Remind us of that anointing. Remind us. There are some other ones, and I'll just tell you, you're young, you're teenagers, you're in the youth group. Get up here. You know that the Lord is calling you to something. You know that the Lord is calling you to usefulness. You know that the Lord is calling you to a platform, and you need to come to a point where you have surrender that is greater than what you've ever surrendered before. You need to come to a point where you return to that fire that you've had for the Lord before. I don't care about what your reputation's been. I don't care about what's happened in the last few months, weeks. I don't care. Get up here and surrender to the anointing of God in your life. Surrender to the call of God on your life. Jesus, pour out your spirit. Pour out your spirit. Pour out your spirit. Can I have some just to begin to lay hands on these and pray over them that the fire of God would fall on them, that the anointing of God would fall on them, that the hand of God would be evident on them. Jesus, have your way. Jesus, have your way. Jesus, have your way. Don't let us try to do the work, Lord, without the anointing. Don't let us try, Lord, to live it out without the fullness. Are there others in this room that would say, I need the fullness of God at work in my life? I need the fullness of God to operate in my life. I need the Spirit of God to rest on me heavy. I want to return to that anointing. I want to return to that surrender. Come on, can some of you just begin to respond and just cry out to the Lord and say, I want to see the fullness of God made evident. Church, can we just gather in these altars and begin to say, Holy Ghost, visit us. Holy Ghost, rest on us. Holy Ghost, work among us. Work among us, Jesus. Work among us, God. Have your way. Come on.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus.
Oh, Jesus.